Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus, right down Santa Claus Lane.
All right. How y'all doing? It's John Newby, John 2020 Apologetics and the Lion and Lamb Podcast. And today's podcast is going to be on good old Saint Nick. And we ain't talking about Here Comes Santa Claus by Gene Autry. We ain't talking about the fat man in the red suit. We talking about the actual Saint Nick. Saint Nicholas. Yes, he was a real person. And there's some cool stories and lore that go about him. He's a very fascinating Christian. He was a real man that walked the earth, that fought for the faith, and did fantastic things. And you could see some of the things that he did for people in his time, how it would grow into the legend that we have today of Santa Claus. But first, all praise the Most High. Yahweh, thank you, Father, for your eternal Son, Jesus Christ. We celebrate the birth of our resurrected King, our Lord God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Merry Christmas. Thank you, Lord. So, Saint Nicholas was also known as Saint Nicholas of Myra. He was around 270 AD and he died in 343 AD. He was an early Christian church leader. He was a bishop at the church leader in Asia Minor and the Church of Myra. So he was a bishop for the Church of Myra, which means he was one of the top dogs. He was literally the head over this major church of Christianity in this time. And him being one of the main leaders is why he was also an attendee at the famous Council of Nicaea that people like to bring up all the time, especially skeptics and atheists and Muslims when they have no idea what they're talking about. But this council obviously is which led to Christianity being, quote, legal, but it did not define what Christianity is. Christianity was already known to be the belief in the triune nature of God. Jesus Christ is Lord and God and Savior, and he bodily rose again. But there were heretics, known as Arians, that were there at the time that were trying to bring in another Jesus, if you will. Well, that's exactly what it is, where Jesus was a created being. This goes hand in hand with a lot of Jehovah's Witness beliefs today, which is just Jehovah's Witnesses is just a belief that's 1,500 years later or 2,000 years later or whatever. But Saint Nicholas, whenever he was at the council, and this very small voice at the council was bringing this nature of Jesus up, which is a heretical, Saint Nicholas shot them down in debate with the scripture. And when they, in the middle of their argument, he also punched one of the heretics in the mouth. So Saint Nicholas was definitely not a wimp. He was somebody that was probably pretty tough, and there had some backbone. So not to go on another rant, but I think that us Christians today should not go around hitting people, but at the same token, not be wimps either, jellyfish, backboneless Christians. I mean, in John 2, Jesus did chase people out of the temple with a whip. Okay, so there is a time for stuff like this. Now, back to him being the bishop of the church in Myra, that's actually mentioned in Acts 27:5. And we read Luke's account here that, and when we had sailed through the sea along the coast of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we landed at Myra and Lasea. So this is an account in Luke's book of Acts about, you know, that city being there and it being a point where Christians were there and gathering. And this is where Paul eventually had his shipwreck at, one of his shipwrecks. Now, the rumor about Saint Nick and where we can get some of the connective tissue to today's Santa Claus to him is that a lot of the sources that depict him was that he was a wealthy man, very rich, and he would take a lot of his family wealth and give it away to people when they were in time of need. And you know, I don't think that's a stretch, especially when you have a early Christian who, when they read the scriptures and they read things like, you know, it's harder for a rich man to get in the eye already get in heaven than it is for a camel to get the eye of a needle, things like that. He obviously wanted to step away from the world and its luxury in that sense, and he wanted to devote his life to Christ instead and help those in need. And we can see today that spirit of giving that Saint Nick had then is something we do today for our kids and our loved ones and whatnot. So it's something that we do that he did back then. So the story with presents, and originally, by the way, that people would leave shoes and as where people would put gifts, okay? So you'd wake up and there'd be a gift in your shoe. And the reason for that is that St. Nicholas, the story is, and this is something that's believed through multiple sources, but he heard of a story about some girls that wanted to get married, some young women that wanted to get married, they didn't have the money for it, something in this nature, and he knew about this in his city, so he walked by their window at night when it was cracked open, and he threw some money into the window for one of the girls to get married, one of the young women to get married. And then some of that money, and he did that for all three. There's two or three of the daughters that wanted to get married. They didn't have money for a wedding. Well, so one of those coins, or some of those coins, if you will, landed in one of the shoes that was inside the house. So people woke up, walked into the house from their bedroom, and they saw just coins laying all over the floor. So obviously this touched people in a lot of ways, and the tradition grew of people setting shoes out, which still was done in Europe for a long time, by the way. And then this led to people putting presents under a Christmas tree. And we still kind of do that today. We put stockings or a sock to hang down. I mean, we just bought him a new stocking, and now we have stockings hanging over our fireplace for everyone in the house. So St. Nicholas does have a day that's December 6th, and a lot of places in the world to honor him and that tradition give out gifts and candy and sweets and whatnot. They give out on that day, the December 6th day. And you can also see how this would develop in time, where St. Nicholas became the saint that a lot of orphans and widows and homeless people and people of this nature are in this situation in their life. They would associate St. Nick with people in this position being helped out. Like, he's the saint that helped them out during these troubled times. St. Nick is one of my favorite Christian saints of all time, if not my favorite. And there's a couple reasons for that. But one, and if some of y'all aren't familiar with my YouTube channel, the reason why my channel is called John 2028 is because of Doubting Thomas in John 2028, when Thomas looks at Christ after looking at the holes of his hands and saying, my Lord and my God, ha kurios mou ke ha theos mou in Greek. The Lord of me or the God of me is basically how it translates. And Thomas had to study the resurrection to learn who Jesus truly is. He obviously had doubts. That's why he's called Doubting Thomas. And then he saw the evidence of the resurrection. That's what made him a Christian, or made him, you know, bend the knee to Christ, basically, if you will. I needed to see the evidence of the resurrection, and that's the thing that strengthened my faith, and that's why I went on this apologetics thing, because I wanted to share what I know about Jesus to you. But I was always been skeptic at heart. Well, how does this tie into Santa? Well, this is how it ties in. I've always been, you know, a skeptic at heart. I remember I was about 5, 6, 7 years old, probably 6 or 7, and I started the question if Santa Claus was real. So I set up milk and cookies and put a note on there on a counter, and I watched it all night and hid down the hallway. And I saw my aunt that night. We had family in town, and they were all up having fun, you know, drinking wine. And I saw my aunt walk in the kitchen, and I heard her laughing. Oh, isn't this cute what John did? And she ate the cookies and drank the milk, and then she walked out. And I was hiding down the hallway, and I watched it. I probably sat there for probably till, I don't know, several hours, motionless. They didn't dare come down the hallway because they didn't want to wake up the kids. So I was in a very safe spot, right? And I remember going to bed devastated, but I woke up the next day and I had like a realization that my doubts were true, and it kind of sprungboard me into my life where I like to test everything and see if something is real. It's why I like objectivity. It's why I like black and white facts. And that, you know, that's just kind of molded my personality. That's why I'm a police officer now. I want to know the truth. I want facts. I want this known. But the cool thing about all this is, the irony of all this is Santa is real. And in Revelation 5, you know, all the saints are worshiping at the throne of the Lamb and the Father and the Holy Spirit and the single throne of God. Whenever I go to the Lord, I'm literally going to be able to meet Saint Nick. I'm going to see Santa. And all of God's saints, all people who have repented, all people who have come to Christ, all people who have accepted Him as Lord, God, and Savior, and all people who have been baptized with the Holy Spirit, will, deed in fact, meet Santa, meet Saint Nick, which is pretty cool. So, the weird twist of all this is that me disproving Santa led to me meeting Santa. Thank you for listening. God bless you. In Jesus' name, and Merry Christmas.